Basket Gross Morning.
Thanks from Bay FM. We are now cutting to our transition break. I'm Mia Johnson, and you're listening to Alt Election 2025 National Election Project, coordinated by the NCRA. We'll be right back. Okay, and we're back. Good evening and welcome to Alt Election 2025. I'm Mia Johnson.
And I'm Kenza Zafar.
It's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're live with Coast to Coast coverage. Kenza Zafar is our East show producer, and I am the East Coast host. Bill Collins is our West Coast correspondent. He'll be taking over at 11 p.m. Eastern time on the hour as polls begin to close out on the West. Special thanks to executive producers Barry Rook and Catherine Fisher. Until then, let's see what's happening. What's the roundup? We have Alan Gates. Alan, what is going on?
If you are looking for certainty with what's come out in Atlanta, Canada so far, you're not going to get it. We have the Liberals right now leading or elected in 22 seats, Conservatives in 10 seats. There's actually one Bloc Québécois seat that's showing as well. That is a riding in Eastern Quebec that kind of follows Atlanta, Canada time. So if you're looking at the numbers, as a Liberal supporter, you want to feel good. You've got 22 seats to the Conservatives' 10. If we look back, though, at the 2021 election, the Liberals actually took 25 seats out of 32 in Atlanta, Canada. So again, they're actually down 3 seats from where they were last time. And if you recall, in 2021, the end result was a minority Liberal government. Now, again, I have to note, this is very early. In the night, it's very early with the counting as well. Most of the ridings outside of Newfoundland were still, you know, we've still counted half the polls coming in. Certainly right now, if you are looking for something a little more decisive as a Liberal supporter, wanting a majority government tonight, you are not getting it so far out of Atlanta, Canada.
Alan, what are some of your projections maybe for some of the NDP seats we're looking at? I know NDP is really trying to hold on to their official party status. At the beginning of the night here, they're projected to win 5 seats when they need 12 to gain official party status. What do you have your eye on? What ridings could possibly go NDP?
Well, as a Winnipegger, born and raised, there are certainly 2 seats in Winnipeg that are pretty reliable NDP seats. We've got Elmwood, Transcona, and we have Winnipeg Centre, both of which right now are projected as kind of toss-up seats. My personal kind of gut feeling is that the NDP should be seen as the favorite in both those seats. The Elmwood Transcona seat was a hold in a by-election last year that was hotly contested by the Conservatives. So certainly they've got to hold on to those seats in Winnipeg. They have a couple of seats in Edmonton, which are, you know, they're also looking to hold. Edmonton Strathcona actually feels like one of their safest seats. And then Edmonton Southeast is the other seat where right now not looking as good. And then it comes down to British Columbia. There are a handful of seats in Vancouver, the city of Vancouver, which are still possibilities for holds for the NDP. They did take almost all of Vancouver Island in the 2021 election. The projections are not looking as good right now in Vancouver Island. So they basically have to hold on to their seats in Winnipeg, Edmonton. They pick up a couple of Vancouver. There are a couple of seats in Ontario as well. And I have to scroll through my map to find them specifically. You know, there is, and now my site is loading up again. I know that there is a seat in Windsor. There's a seat in Hamilton. I believe there's a seat in the in London as well, where there is hope for holding on to seats.
I'm looking at Nova Scotia right now, as six seats have already been elected for the Libs. And there are two that are leading Liberal and sort of three that are leading Conservative. The central Nova riding, Conservative leads Liberal by 296 votes. And then we have South Shore, St. Margaret's. The Liberals are leading Conservatives by 416 votes. Cumberland, Colchester, Conservative leads Liberal by 349 votes. Conservative leads Liberal by 708 votes. What can you tell me sort of about Nova Scotia, Allen? Is it typically more Liberal-leaning, more Conservative-leaning? And based on these results, what are you expecting?
So there are two ridings that are showing a little bit different than kind of the projection right now. Central Nova is one that you've mentioned. It's actually been predicted to be a likely pickup for the Liberals. Again, the Conservatives are leading in that riding only by 200 votes. There are about half of the polls still to come in. It's a very, very close race, so there is plenty of time. South Shore St. Margaret is the other riding. Right now, the Liberal candidate has a small lead, about 500 votes out of about 20,000 cast. So it's a close race as well, but that could be a pickup for the Liberals out in Nova Scotia as well. Most ridings, as we've probably heard a lot when people are talking about these elections, you know, you're looking at a lot more support for Liberals and NDP candidates in larger centers. And usually as you go more rural, you're seeing more support for the Conservatives. Right now, across Atlantic Canada, that pattern is kind of falling out, as you would expect.
And then I'm also just looking at PEI at the moment. We have one leading Liberal seat right now, the Egmont riding. Liberal lead Conservatives by 489 votes, 3.9%. margin. We're almost sort of at the total for calling PEI here, and it's looking like it's going to be a pretty heavy Liberal race. So we're getting kind of close with our Atlantic ridings. What are you seeing in Quebec right now? Anything interesting that you're following, Alan?
Nothing in terms of actual results. We're actually, this is kind of the warm-up, you know, 32 seats in Atlantic Canada. And it's been already a wild ride. At 9:30 Eastern time, we're going to be closing polls pretty much across Canada, except for British Columbia. So 265 seats are going to be emerging at that point, which is going to be pretty wild. I note that the results in Atlantic Canada don't give you kind of a decisive direction if you have hopes one way or the other as a Liberal or Conservative. But we have to note that the Canadian election is, to some extent, a series of regional elections. So results can be quite different from one to another. Quebec is one of the more interesting provinces. The big question in Quebec is going to be how much does the Bloc Québécois manage to hold? In the 2021 election, they took 32 seats. They are projected to lose a portion of those seats. And a good chunk of those could go over to the Liberals. And if you're a Liberal, you're counting on that flip in order to give yourself a shot at a majority government.
Thanks, Alan. That's great. He's going to be coming in, giving us in-depth analysis on what we can expect from ridings on the East Coast tonight as results begin to creep in. Alan is a professional marketing researcher, a political science major, and an election tracking enthusiast. Based on what we're saying, Liberals leading in Atlantic Canada, but they do seem to be underperforming the original expectations that we had. When polls close at 9:30, we'll begin to see some more results in Eastern Ontario. We're going to be going next up shortly to an interview with Dave Meslin. He's the president of the Riding Association of the Green Party and founded a number of initiatives in Toronto. The Toronto Public Space Committee is one of them. We'll be hearing from him very soon. This program, again, is the Alt Election 2025 coverage. Is coordinated by the NCRA. So now we'll be hearing from David Meslin. This was an interview that was done last week. Dave Meslin is an author. He has founded, again, numerous initiatives in Toronto. We're going to be hearing a little bit from our interview where we spoke about why minor parties run when they have very little chance in winning. We're just having some technical difficulties at the moment. Do you want to reiterate again, this program is part of the Alt Election 2025 National Election Project coordinated by the NCRA. This initiative is supported by the Covering Canada Election 2025 Fund in partnership with the Public Policy Forum, Rideau Hall Foundation, and the Michener Awards Foundation. Special thanks to our executive producers, Barry Rook. You can see him here on the screen right now, and Catherine Fisher, our producer, Bailey Adams, the East Coast hosts, Kinza, and myself, West Canada host Bill Collins and Peter Wainwright, technical producer Anthony Sana, and our social media coordinator, Zen Sekaruski. We will be throwing to an interview with Dave Meslin shortly.
I can join you for a moment if you want me.
Sure.
So this is Barry Ruck, executive director of the show and of the National Campus and Community Radio Association. Just taking a quick look at some of the other results that are happening as well. One of the very close ridings and races right now is happening in the newly formed the Terra Nova and the Peninsulas in Newfoundland, Labrador. So this is right in the central of the riding, recently held by Terrence Rogers, who just retired. Former school teacher and mayor in the area. The Liberal candidate Anthony Germain, former CBC host, is trailing by 2% to Conservative candidate Jonathan Rowe, with 77% of the total electoral amounts coming in there. So quite a close race. Newfoundland's actually been a lot closer than what was expected. A lot of people were expecting quite a lot on the red side of things, but we are seeing a pretty decent split between those two differences there. Paul Connors for the Liberals taking the riding of Avalon right now, and that looks like that will lean that way. And Liberal Tim Osborne is ahead in votes right now in the riding of Cape Spear. The central Newfoundland riding, which was and currently held by Clifford Small, was questioned to be part of the possibilities of something going in a different direction. With 82% of the votes in right now, he's holding a substantial 20-point lead. So it looks like Clifford Small will be staying around for the Conservatives in Newfoundland, but lots going on in the province there as we're working our way up to the next sort of set of releases of information and so on in the next little while.
Yeah, thanks, Barry. Thanks for that update. Appreciate it. There we go. We got Jesse Wensloff here to provide some local riding updates. Jesse, what's going on? What can you tell me? Hi.
Hi, Mia. I'm Jesse Wensloff from CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, here with my colleague, Danny Nesvaterani. We're out here waiting for the polls to close in another 45 minutes or so out west, and just sort of eagerly waiting to be able to dig into something. We've got our eyes on some key ridings out here in the greater Vancouver area, particularly in Burnaby, our home city, which have been traditionally NDP strongholds and are looking like things might change. So that's sort of what we're drilling in on. In particular, of course, the riding of Burnaby Central, newly formed, but now sort of the pseudo incumbent Jagmeet Singh's riding. Whether or not he'll be able to hold on to his own seat, according to polling, is very much in question, and will be interesting to look at, particularly with the NDP being fighting to maintain that official party status.
Yeah, great. Thanks, guys. Danny, what do you got going on?
So with Burnaby Central in particular, it is definitely a bit of a toss-up just because the last two elections, Jagmeet Singh has only held on to his riding by less than 10 percentage points. So with the state of the NDP in 2025, it does look to be quite precarious for him. There are other NDP strongholds within the area that are looking to be toss-ups. Peter Julian, who has been the MP for New Westminster for quite a few years at this point, is running against Liberal MP candidate Jake Sawatsky, who is freshly graduated university, and this is his first time running for any sort of political office. I attended a all-candidates Q&A a couple of weeks ago within the riding, and it was very clear to me that the stance that Jake Sawatsky was taking was to be representative of Mark Carney's party. So it'll be interesting to see if that holds enough weight within New Westminster.
And of course, some other ridings we're interested to see the results in are Vancouver East, where Jenny Kwan has and the NDP have been in control for quite some time, and Vancouver Kingsway under Don Davies and the NDP. Both very responsive and well-liked members of parliament within the community, very active and engaged with their constituents. But with the way the polls have been showing, it looks like they might be in trouble to Liberal challengers. And beyond that, just, I guess, keeping tabs on, whether what happens out here has any impact on the overall results or in terms of who forms government or whether it's majority or minority, or at the very least, seeing whether the NDP can hold on to that official party status by holding on to, the majority of the ridings out here.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest narrative going into this election, within BC specifically. I don't see there being a lot of change specifically within the interior, but I think the lower mainland is definitely going to be where to look within BC this election.
Great. Thanks, Danny and Jesse. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for the updates.
Yeah, no problem. We'll be back, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so. All right. We will be heading to our local stations for some updates, and you can stick around here for an interview with Dave Meslin. That was teased just a little bit earlier. Just want to take a second to shout out some other key contributors and journalists that are included in this broadcast. We got Arby Fru, Bob Youngman, Mickey Akrasu, Rob Hailman, Stephanie Hendricks, and Jesse Wensloff, who you just heard from. We're throwing to local now in a minute, and we'll be right back. Okay, and we are back. We'll be hearing from Dave Meslin. He was born in Toronto. He lived there for about 45 years. He's now 2 hours northeast of Toronto in a little town called Markdale. We spoke last week about why certain smaller parties that have no seats in Parliament bother running. It is a lot of work as a candidate to run a whole election cycle, especially in an election like this when the time is so short. It is a snap election. So he's going to give us a little bit of insight into why those minor parties do run and why they still matter.
It's a lot of fun. The first step is to find a candidate. Mm-hmm. And I always encourage, I would do this for any party in any riding, is to have what's called a contested nomination. So instead of just picking the candidate that you want to represent the riding, you find a bunch of candidates and you leave it up to the membership of that party in the riding to vote on who they want to be the candidate. Mm. It's good to increase membership. It's just more democratic. It's more interesting. It's more fun. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised how many riding parties don't have contested nominations at all. They just pick someone who they think will be best. All the parties have what's called a riding association, which is a group of volunteers at the riding level. Mm-hmm. Just to give some background there. And that group, the riding association volunteers, have a choice of picking one candidate or finding a bunch for a contested nomination. Mm-hmm. So we had a contested nomination up here for the provincial election for the Greens and for the federal election for the Greens.
Yes. And you mentioned that you had a very in-depth debate at that local party nominating meeting recently on whether or not your Green candidate should run. What can you tell me about that? How did this come up?
Yeah, it was an unexpected debate, but I think it was really healthy to have. So mm-hmm. we had two people who wanted to be the Green candidate. One was Natasha Akwenzi and the other was Blake Martin. Mm-hmm. And the membership was there to vote on which one they wanted to see the candidate. The candidates were kind of explaining who they were, their background, what their values are. And then we had questions from the audience. And then we had a vote. But before the vote, someone put up their hand and said, well, maybe we shouldn't run a candidate at all. Mm. And their theory was, and we hear this, of course, all across Canada all the time yeah. when it comes to smaller parties, that maybe we're just going to split the vote. Hmm. And in an election where it's going to be either a Liberal prime minister or a Conservative prime minister, maybe we should just support the Liberal Party in this riding because we think on economic justice, climate change, social justice, a variety of issues, we're much more aligned with the Liberals than we are with the Conservatives.
Right.
So this guy said, maybe we shouldn't run anyone, which was just kind of a disruptive suggestion to throw into the middle of an event where we were there to pick our candidate.
Sure, yeah.
But instead of shutting him down, I thought, you know, why don't we have this discussion? So I said, his name was Robert. Mm-hmm. I got to the microphone. I said, Robert, thank you for bringing this idea forward. The proper way to deal with this is to put forward a motion. So I helped them draft a motion that we would officially decide not to run a candidate. Mm-hmm. And when you have a motion on the floor, that opens it up for debate. So I said, who wants to speak in favor of Robert's idea? Who wants to speak against? And we spent about 20 minutes talking about the pros and cons of why would we run a candidate in a riding where we know we have zero chance of winning, and we might even split the left and help a conservative candidate win. Mm-hmm. And I can go over some of the details with you, what the pros and cons were, but I'll go right to the spoiler, which is that in the end, we voted unanimously, the entire room, that we felt it was really important for us to have a candidate, have a green candidate in this election, in this riding.
Mm. It's very democratic of you to raise it.
Thank you. It's in my blood.
It's in my
DNA.
Yeah. I am curious about what some of the pros were that came up. Could you tell me more about that?
Yeah, the pros of not running a candidate were pretty straightforward. It was really just a fear that if we got 3% or 7% or even just 1%, that might be enough that might be enough of the difference between the conservatives and the liberals. Mm. And that if we didn't run someone, we could help ensure that the liberals win one more seat, which would help Mark Carney fear that you know, we could actually be doing damage to our cause by running a candidate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to play you a clip. I want to do something fun here.
Okay.
I spoke to Green Party candidate Shane Phillips at the Toronto St. Paul's riding. And I asked him why he ran, and this is what he said to me.
Well, I said, you guys are playing a short-term game. If you are going to commit to a party, you should commit and have a long-term strategy for change. Change, the liberals and the conservatives always play a short-term game, election cycles to election cycles, and the liberals always say to their candidates, this is the important issue. Next issue, next cycle, it's going to be, there's another important issue that we can't split the vote on, right?
Yeah. So what does he mean by playing a short-term game? Could you break this down for me? I know it was a little noisy in the background there, but
sure.
What do you think of this?
Let me flip it around and explain what I think the long game is.
Mm.
So if you look at the Reform Party, for example, which was in the 1980s, they started really small out west.
Mm-hmm.
I think in their first election they won only two seats, so they were very fringe. But they grew and grew and grew. They elected people all across the country, and arguably they ended up taking over the Conservative Party entirely.
Mm.
So if you look at the growth trend of anything, whether it's a fad or a meme or a popular restaurant or a popular brand of shoes, they all started somewhere and they all started small. So it's really important for a political party to allow themselves to be small and to grow slowly in the hope that at some point they'll become a large player, a mainstream player. If every small brand, every small group, every small product, every small party quit because they were small, then we would never see innovative change. We'd never see entrepreneurial groups emerge into the mainstream because they were patient, because they played the long game. It's about patience, and it's about, you know, just having faith that if you keep working at it, it'll grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when we look at these parties that are even smaller than the Green Party, like Animal Protection Party, Marxist-Leninist Party, that have no seats...
Absolutely. I mean, people think the Green Party is small, but there's actually about 15 or 20 registered parties, and the Greens are, you know, one of the big ones that actually elect people to the House of Commons.
Dave, you've been described as fiercely optimistic, and I can really feel that coming out of you in this interview. You've used the word fun quite a few times. Where does your optimism come from, someone that's been very embedded in the Canadian political system on all levels of government, municipal, provincial, federal, and you've sort of been watching these debates unfold in Parliament? Yeah.
That's a good question. Yeah, I have been involved with grassroots movements, volunteer groups, you know, mid-sized charities, and I've also worked for politicians, you know, where I have to put on a suit and, you know, work at Queen's Park or at City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what inspires me the most is that at all of those different levels, there are amazing people you know, really trying their hardest to make the world better. They're amazing members of parliament, amazing city councillors, and most of all, really amazing volunteers and grassroots activists who have so much hope, so much faith, so much energy. And those people give me energy, and it's what fuels my work.
That was Dave Meslin talking about why minor parties run.